Okay, so assuming we miss him.
Okay.
He heard another tape. Okay. Thank you. Okay, the Gemara Daf of Zayin and Aleph tries to find who's the Tana of Zev Zegorim's Usher and has a little trouble, cannot prove that it's the Rabbi Eliezer of Seor. So in the end, they come to the Rabbi Eliezer of this Mishnah in Avodah Zarah. Right? Ela Eliezer d'Atzei Asherit. It's not. Not only in the Eitzim Asur v'Hanan. He's going to say Tanur Chadosh Yutzot Yashan Yutzon. Off of Avodah Tapas Asurin v'Hanan. It's Arv Lachir. It's Lachir. It's Kulon Asurin. Right. Amr lo ein pidyon la avodah zarah. So Amr Shamas Levi Lazar Avodah Zarah Dechamri Sura Shari Surin Shmatar Mi Shamas Lei Ella Im Kain Aman Tirmiye. The Oh the time you had Yechini Lazar Oser or Omer Becholi Surin She Ba Torah. So the this brings up the whole sugya of halachas on Aliyah HaMelach, which is a big sugya in and of itself, which I think some of us already, maybe all of us, I don't know, for an hour we're talking about. But I just want to at least focus on the parts of this sugya that are most relevant for our topic of the Zev Zegorim, Mishpach, Eitzim Apaf, etc., even though, you know, really, we're not learning Avodah Zarah, so we're not going to go into every detail of the Din of Moloch and Eliyahu HaMelech, but at least the parts that are relevant to us. And we have two very fundamental machlokos about how to apply the principle of Halachos and Eliyahu HaMelech to our case of Shvach Eitzim B'Pas. One very fundamental machlokos is how much Hanar are you Moloch to the Yam HaMelech? What are the two main shitas? How much Hanar are you Moloch to the Yam HaMelech? Right, Dmei Eitzim, who says that?
Rashi.
Right, Rashi says Dmei Eitzim. I think maybe it was Aaron Daniel who asked me yesterday, did Dmei Eitzim meant how much it cost to buy the wood, or how much added value the wood gave to the bread, which might be subtly different. I noticed, meanwhile, that the Rugged Charver was on a supplic about this in Perkis, Pesayin, Machalos, and Surils, and Kedar Kabakodesh, he, you know, compared it to various sheets of Rishonim in seemingly unrelated parts of Kol Torah Kula.
That'd be the machlokes between the Rach and Rashi.
Could be, because the Rach says it's Me'afia, something like that. What's his lashon? Scharafia? Scharafia. And Rashi says Me'etim, so maybe that could be the subtle difference. But let's for now assume that they're all really saying the same thing. So Rashi and Rabbeinu Hananel and they all quote the Ravid and many other Rishonim say that you molech the Dmei Eitzim to the Yam HaMelech. Right, however much Hanah you got from the Avodah Zarah, that's how much you're molech to the Yam HaMelech. As opposed to, what's the other Shita?
The value of the pasta.
The value of the whole pasta, Yam HaMelech, right? Meaning, obviously, it would have to be talking in the case of this pasta, this Arig, with other pitos. So this loaf of bread got mixed up with 20 other loaves of bread. So you throw the value of one loaf of bread into the Yam HaMelech, and you're okay. Who holds that Shita? The Rambam, and which other important Rishon? Tosfos and Avodah Zarah there. I don't know if he's quoted by the Ritva here. The Ritva here, like, he's just a good summary here of all the issues, but he might not have quoted Tosfos exactly, but the Rambam and Tosfos and Avodah Zarah, oh, the Ritva does quote him, according to my notes, say you have to throw the value of the whole pot into the Yam HaMelech.
I thought the Rabbeinu Hananel was the side of the Rambam.
Really?
Yeah, because I thought he was saying that there's some sort of new entity here called the baking. It wasn't all the way to be saying there's a whole new loaf, because there was dough, but there's like a new thing called baked.
As really?
Rashi, who was about the Eitzim.
What's his Lashon? His Lashon is, Kashir Schar Afiyah Sapas, like the amount of the value or the cost of baking the bread. I thought that was pretty much the same as Rashi. Not the value of the bread, just the value of baking the bread. Right? Which, what's the value of baking the bread? The value of baking the bread is the wood.
The value of bread is also takes into account the value of the wood.
But he doesn't say the value of the bread. He says the value of baking the bread.
Even the Rambam, you could argue that the value of the bread has the value of the wood in it.
But also the value of the dough. But for the Rambam, you also have to throw the value of the flour and water into Yom HaMelech. But for the Rach, I think it's pretty clear you don't. So that's why I think he really is like Rashi.
So anything short of the dough, the cheshbon would be like Rashi.
Yeah. Now again, might they measure it subtly differently? Perhaps. But I think that he's basically like Rashi. Okay, so Rashi, you can count all the Rishon. Rashi, Rabbein Hananel, and others versus Rambam, the Tosfos, and others.
Why did you say according to the Rambam it has to be Tarah?
Ah, because it was just one loaf of bread and you were throwing the value of the whole loaf into Yom HaMelech, then why would you ever do that? You haven't gained anything. Right? Just practically, there's no point to throw the value of one loaf into the Yom HaMelech and eat only one loaf. Like, that's not worth it. So obviously, it only applies in the case of Pyro. Tosfos makes that point in the Bazaar. So what's the basis of the Dmei Eitzim versus Dmei Kol HaPas, Rambam, Tosfos, and others? Rashi, Rach, and others. What are they arguing about? So what are they arguing about here? Right? Now, which shita seems to make more sense? Which shita seems more logical at first glance?
Rashi.
For sure. Because that's the only thing that was usher, right? The flour and water were an usher. The only isser thing in here is the hanoa from the atzei isser. So Rashi makes more sense logically. This is pointed out, I mean, I don't know if you need someone to point out what's logical, but the Ram in Avodah Zarah has actually very nice long piece about this. And he says, like, the Ram really doesn't make any sense. The Isser is only the Hanas Eitzim in it. Right? So this is very logical. So the question is, what's pshat in the Rambam and Tosfos? Right? What's pshat in the Rambam and Tosfos then? So, okay, what's pshat in the Rambam and Tosfos? What's the machlokas?
Thought that Rambam assumed that you have a whole new, it's like Chanukah Chadashos, you have a whole new bread. This entire bread got here via Mozara, and therefore it's also the whole thing.
Right. This whole, that's obviously, well, I shouldn't say obviously, that's the first way we would think, and the best, maybe best way we would think, just saying Machlokes. The Rambam thinks the whole bread was born in sin, right? While the Rashi Udi'ime think, no, it's just the Hanas Isser Shabo that is the problem. I think this corresponds to the question we asked last time, perhaps. What is the problem of Grumas Isser? What's the problem of Grumas Isser? Right? What's the whole problem here? So if you say the problem is, right, the Isser is indirect. So it could be there arguing about, right, Shvach Eitzim Bipas. If you say the Isser indirect Hanoah from the Eitzim, right, what's wrong with eating the bread? Remember we had that Hakira? If what's wrong with the bread is indirect Hanoah from the Eitzim, if that's what's wrong with the bread, then how much have to do in the Yom HaMelech, the amount of Hanoah you got from the Eitzim? Or, what's the other option though? That what was the problem with the bread? If it's Yotzei min ha'aser, then, you know, I'm not even sure it's Mokra, but probably. If the Isser is that Pas was Yotzei min ha'aser, right? Unless you want to say a Pas could be Yotzei from two things, and half is Yotzei and this, half and that, but probably no. The Pas is Yotzei min ha'aser, there was one big chesed of Isser. Oh, you're asking, how could 50 cents of Hanoah turn into a $2 Chesed Shel Isser? No, then. After all, how about animals Yotzei min ha'aser, right? How could a mother worth $50 give birth to a baby worth $100 and it'll still be trade? That's the way it works. It doesn't have to be the same amount. So I thought this time to Akira. If you did the Isser indirect enough from the Eitzim, then throw the amount of indirect Hanoah you got from the Eitzim into the Yom HaMelech and be done with it. But if the Isser is that the pas has a new chalos Isser on it in and of itself, then the whole pas is Usser. So I thought that that could be the machlokis. Now, of course,
definitely just follow that.
What?
Definitely just follow that. idea that the entire it takes on the
correct. It's similar to this Avnezer, Chiyuv Bir, correct. This Avnezer would definitely fit well with the Rambam. Now, of course, since here we're talking about not just about any grama, but about Shvach Eitzim Bepas, right? What was the other possibility we had in Shvach Eitzim Bepas that it might be different than a grama? What might it be? Even though this was a Machodesh formulation. The Eitzim are Be'en in the past. But if the Eitzim are Be'en in the past, then I think... Even if the Eitzim are Be'en in the past, the Eitzim are Be'en in the past, but the dough was also in the past. Doesn't say the Eitzim took over the past. So if the Eitzim are Be'en in the past, then I think, or if it's just indirect Tana, then you say Tmei Eitzim. If he said, no, once these Eitzim went into the past, that's called Yotzei Min Aser. Right? You could say, once the Eitzim are Be'en in the past, then they give birth to the past. But I think that makes him up low, because it's just, it has some Isser in it, or it's a way of indirectly benefiting from Isser, or do you say it turns into an Isser? That's one way of understanding this machlokus. Right? Please feel free to chime in when you have ha'oros. What?
The Kiddush Eiran, the Zara says, basically, the Rashi is that we look at it as, like, right now, the Tarot is the Isser, even one class itself. It's just, there's the Isser, the Eitzim in the past, versus the, he says that the Rambam holds that
okay, so that's a great lashon. Rash says Tarot is Visser, although the Ran on the Rif has an even weaker formulation than that, but for himself. And the Rambam said Mamashel Isser, Givaldit. Okay, great to share mine. Now, I knew I can't tell you. Now, of course, if you're just thinking methodologically, whenever we have sort of the intersection between two sugyas, and there's a machlokes, the machlokas could be about Shvach Eitzim and Gromas Eitzim Bepas, or it could be about, what's the other option? They could be arguing not about anything to do with the Pas, they could be arguing about Holochas and Oliyam HaMelech, right? How that works. Maybe there's a separate machlokas how that works, which again, at the top, we're not going to get totally into, but they could be arguing about the technicalities of Holochas and Oliyam HaMelech. So you could say they're arguing about the technicalities of Holochas Hana'a Liyam HaMelach. I noticed that the Machne Ephraim takes this approach. The Machne Ephraim, if you have a Machne Ephraim, I don't know if people have Machne Ephraims anymore, but they should. In the back of the Machne Ephraim, you know, the regular part of the Machne Ephraim, you know, the first 90% is just based on, you know, Hilchos something, that he makes up the name of which Allah is, and very simon. No, say Nachmanai Hilchos Ribbis Simon Yod, just means he gets the Ribbis in whatever order he puts all of Choshev Mishpat, and you get there. In the back, he has Chiddushim on the Rambam, then he has Chiddushim on the Torah Shulchan Aruch. So on the Rambam, the Machne Ephraim is on the Rambam. I think it's in Macholos Asuros Tes Zayin, not in Avodah Zarah Perek Yod Perek Zayin. But the Machne Ephraim says no. The Macholos is more technical. Really, they both agree that the whole pas is an usser. They both agree the whole pas is an usser. That's too radical to say the whole pas is an usser. So he says, he only says the Rambam side, but I'll fill in the other side. He says, no, they both agree the whole pas is not usser. What's the machlokes? So again, he only says one, but I'll try and fill in the other. So if they both agree the whole pas is not usser, then who needs explaining, obviously? If they both agree the whole pas is an usser, who needs explaining? The Rambam. So he comes up with a technical pshat in the Rambam. He says, but how does Halachas and Oliyam HaMelech work? So, he's tricky. How did the Chachamim, who were his opponent, think Rabbi Eliezer meant it worked? In one word of five letters? Pidyon, right? Says, no, you can't do Pidyon for Avodah Zarah. Right? Now, this person's always tricky, right? They think he said pidyon and says, that's stupid. Can't do pidyon. The question is, what did he mean? Maybe they were just falsely accusing him and he meant something else, you know? Or maybe he really did mean pidyon, but you could do pidyon, obviously, because it's only us to draw upon it anyway in these cases. So he thought they allowed pidyon or something like that. So that is the fundamental machlokas. So he says, the Rambam thinks it's real pidyon, and pidyon is only on Dover Sheyesh Bo Mamish. He thinks, no, halacha le'alacha, the ma'isa pidyon. And because of the technicality, the ma'isa pidyon, you can't be told, it would be enough to be told that the Dvei Eitzim in the Pas. But you can't be, you just can't do a pidyon on Dvei Eitzim in the Pas. Because pidyon has to be on a concrete object, not an abstract object. Pidyon has to be on a davar sheyesh bo mamish. Therefore, technically, in order to do the pidyon, you need to be told to the whole Pas. Because otherwise, the pidyon wouldn't be chal. And then, what are the other, what is the Rashi he may hold? So he doesn't explain, but probably he says it's not really pidyon. Rather, what did we probably think it was? How did you think this was a real pidyon? What did you think it was?
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, just canceling out the hana. So maybe they're arguing about, I mean, this is just, it's always true, you know, it might be interesting sometimes, it might not be. But whenever you have two sugyas intersecting, and there's machlokes or shonim, they could be agreeing on one sugya, arguing about the next, or agreeing about the next, and arguing about this sugya. So could be they all agree about our sugya. They're just arguing whether it's a real pidyon, and mamish has a chalos pidyon, and a chalos pidyon needs a dar sheish b'mamish, or no, it's not a real pidyon. That's just the inflammatory language that his accusers used. Really, it's just a way of saying, in the end, I didn't get hana, I canceled out the hana.
The only question that already is in pidyon, but you can have pidyon on abstract things.
Correct. So that's why I hesitated. I said that I couldn't prove this. It could be that Rashi thinks you can have pidyon on davar sheyesh bo mamish, and then you have to get into whole sugyas we're not going to deal with. So you're absolutely right. But for the sake of simplicity, I will omit that for now. For the sake of simplicity, yeah. But you're absolutely right. Okay, that's one very important machlokas. Second very important machlokas. What's the second very important machlokas? Right? Which we know if you read my Makor sheet, what the second very important machlokas is.
Is it Taravis or Alai?
Exactly. Right? Reisha or Seifa. Right? When we realize it says Yolchel Yonah, that only if the pas is Nisarva Ba'acheros, or even if the pas is Be'en is Lonis Arva Ba'acheros. One thing everyone agrees, if the pas is Nisarva Ba'acheros, Rabbi Eliezer says Yolach Hanoli Yom HaMelech. How much I know, we don't know. But he says Yolach Hanoli Yom HaMelech. And one second. Right. But what if you just have the pas? Right? Say I burned, you know, 50 cents of klipe orla and kashen shel klai kerem. I baked a bread, which is now worth $3, and I want to use the bread. So, can I throw 50 cents into Yam HaMelech for this bread itself, or no, only for Tarovas, not for this bread itself? So, what do you say about this case? Right? Does Holachas Hana'ah Liyam HaMelech work for we pass Be'en without a tarovis, right? So, okay, what are the shittas on this?
Balamor says it does.
Balamor is most famously says it does. Good. Who else says it does? Well, all the Rishonim quote from Rashi and the Rach in Avodah Zarah. Rashi didn't say it explicitly in Avodah Zarah, right? The Ritva quote, I think, Rashi and Rach in Avodah Zarah. Rashi didn't say it explicitly, but it doesn't sound that way, because what does Rashi say? Afa es hapas in Avodah Zarah. Bein, hapas asura l'Rabbi Eliezer ad sheyolech hanid me'itim de'isra liyam hamelach. Right? He starts throwing and baking bread, and says, the bread is asur, according to Eliezer, until you throw the me'itzer into the yam hamelach. Now, and he never mentions being mixed with other breads in this Dibur HaMaskel. So like, he starts off as a pas, bein b'chodesh etzino b'chodesh v'yisik v'atze hetzer, bein b'yoshem v'hetzik shal atze yisr havelim shavari zev z'gorin, shepashin emzim b'chodesh etzik shemi b'al yidei gorin, de'isr shchazik v'metan v'yishis v'gorin v'hetzer, da'hetzik v'hetzik v'hetzik, and katani pas asura. So you could say, no, when he gets the part of Hayam HaMelech, he's like implicitly sticking in a tarofis. But the simple shot of Rashi is that he's talking about baking a bread, and he says the bread is usher until you're molech on Aliyah HaMelech, and he doesn't say anything about a tarovis. So he obviously thinks that halachos on Aliyah HaMelech works even when there's no tarovis.
Also, Tosfos is medayek in Rashi's maid, that's Tosfos there.
correct, although that is a tmiyadik diuk. Because one thing I didn't say at all, the Rush also starts out being medayik in Rashi's May 8 7 and then says, ah, but really you can hold May 8 7 and not hold like Rashi. Then why would he ever medayik in Rashi's May 8 7? So that is a little mystified. It mystified me for a while why the Rishonim are medayik this in Rashi's. Just catch everyone up. Rashi says you only filled May 8 7 to Yam HaMelech. Some of the Rishonim there seem to be dying. From there we see that he's matcha the pas itself, even if it's not Nesarif. Where they see that, especially since in the end lots of Rishonim hold, you filled them eight in, but only if it's Nesarif, I'm not sure. That's why I started to think, as of, I don't know, 5 o'clock this morning, I started to think that they were saying what I'm saying. Really, they weren't just saying, since Rashi says May 8th, he must think you can matcha the pas to end. Really, they said, because if you read what Rashi says, he throws in Dmei Eitzin talking about Pas without mentioning the word Nesarev, and that's how he's saying. So I recognize that when you first read the other Rishonim and Avodah Zarah, it doesn't sound like they're getting Rashi Shita where I am, but I think they must be. I've decided that. They must be, not just saying, since Rashi says throw the Dmei Eitzin, that means you can be matter without a Tarobis. Because Rashi himself says that's not a valid logic. But the thing is, since Rashi has thrown Dmei Eitzim to Yam HaMelech and never says anything was Nesarev, he obviously thinks throwing Dmei Eitzim is matcha the pas itself. Somebody should have also died that in the Rach in Avodah Zarah, but they admit that's weaker. But Rashi definitely says, like, the Ran in the back of Avodah Zarah holds this way, and the Rashbam, although this is quoted in the Urza Ruah, it's a little obscure, holds this way. I think these are the main Rishonim who hold this way. Am I missing anyone? I'm the Rach, but it's not so clear what we think so. As opposed to, who argues vociferously that, no, it only works for Tarovis? The Rabban of the Raivin jumping on the Balamor. Who else seems to imply, by the way, he states the Halacha that only works when it's Tarovis? Two answers to that question, actually.
The Rambam's not really clear, no?
The Rambam's not really clear?
It talks about a case of Tarovis.
He only says it in the case of Tarovis, so I thought that's clear. Remember, the Rambam's not writing a Perush on Shas. The Rambam's writing a book of Halacha. So if he only says something, then I think that's all he means, no? What does the Rambam say? He says, Asabo sapas lutzin, no hapas asur bahana'a. Nis'ar bachiris yolz me'os hapas liyam hamelah. And not to mention that, the Rambam says you have to fill the value of the whole bread into yam hamelah. So obviously, you're not trying to be matter that bread, because then you haven't gained anything.
If you're hungry, yeah, he's already said that before. Well, I mean, it's not impossible to conceive of a case where you'd rather have bread than bread.
Ha, that is a good hara. You're right, meaning by practical kinda, you could get out of. I still think I might have a lumpish kinda. I was relying on the practical kinda. Anyone who says they pass, it's obvious that they think you're not matter the pass itself, because practically, what's the point? You're right. Practically, there could be a point. The guy's rich and hungry, right? There's a lot of people like that.
And also, otherwise, you can go to bakery and buy bread.
Yeah. So, but I still think there's a lumdish point. Meaning, anyone who thinks the whole bread turns into a chefzer shel iser, like mehevi tesi, you could throw money and eat a chefzer shel iser.
It's like an idol.
Right. So I still think I'll be lumdish. Anyone who thinks the whole that depends which Kavan the Rambam is correct, actually. So it might depend which Kavan the Rambam is correct. I'll grant you that. If the Rambam is because he really thinks the Pas is a Chepshel Isser, then obviously he can't be potent the Pas itself. And if it's really just a technicality why you have to pay the value of the Pas, then F sure that it could be. But nonetheless, the loss of the Rambam is pretty clear. The Mashmos, the Rambam, and likewise the Mashmos of the Rif, right? The Baal HaMor starts out by admitting this, even though the riff sounds like it's only for the Nesarev, right? That's the first line of the Baal HaMor here, right? He says, even though the riff sounds like it's only Nesarev, really, I think not so pashut. Right? Well, I'll teach you pressure riff, though the riff doesn't aru pasta begad, right? So, if even the Baal HaMor admits, then we'll say hodas baal then for now. He says, not so pashut. Right. What?
The Balmor in Avodah Zarah says, how do you realize the Tarovis?
Says that for himself or for the Rif?
I think he's saying it for himself.
Really?
The footnotes bring that, it's just theory in the Balmor.
Okay, I don't remember the Balmor saying that in Avodah Zarah. Maybe we have a juicy machlokas.
Sakhavi said it in the Rift, no?
That is. Is he talking about Pasir or is he talking about Yayin? Okay. I'm not convinced that you're reading the Balmor properly, but we'll leave it for now. You have a footnote on your side. Okay, not all footnotes are true. There's one footnote in the Rishon Arsugya that's not true. So, I don't remember which number it was. You might have encountered it. Okay. But some of the other Rishonim just were reading. David is that way, and Tosos is that way.
In Abu Zara, that is. And others.
Okay, fundamental machlokas. Now, what are they arguing? What are these Rishonim arguing about? Now, here it gets a little tricky. Here, well, we could start with maybe similar questions. What are these Rishonim arguing about? So again, they could be arguing about Halachas HaNaliyah HaMelach, or they could be arguing about Eitzim V'Pas. Many Rishonim are explicit that they're arguing about Halachas HaNaliyah HaMelach. Right? The Baal HaMor and the Ramban are mefurish that they're arguing about Halachas HaNaliyah HaMelach. What are they arguing about? And here, I'll apologize because like I didn't intend for us to get really into this sugya, so I'm going to bring some bikiyas from Abu Zara. But there's a fundamental machlokas Rishonim in how to read that sugya. There's, in the end of the sugya in Pesach and Beis, after the mission of Yam HaMelech, it says that Rav Chisda, okay, it's one strange line, Ram Chalov, which sounds like maybe a pasuk like Rav Chisda, but let's ignore that. That doesn't seem to be mainstream. Rav Chisda, pasuk like Rav Chisda, a certain guy had a chavis of wine, getting problematic wine, get mixed into his wine, and Rav Chisda said, no problem, take the money, throw it into Yam HaMelech, and it's all fine. Now, what we're not sure about, though, is, was that Yayin Nesek or Stam Yinam? Right? Argus says Yayin Nesek, the Rishkus says Stam Yinam. And we're not sure, was that a barrel that fell into a room with other barrels? Or that a barrel full of wine that fell into a big vat of wine? I mean, is that called Chavis B'Chavis or Yayin V'Yayin? Because we know from the Vayin Dal and Aleph that Yayin Taros Yayin V'Yayin is more Chomer than Taros Chavis B'Chavis. Taros Yayin V'Yayin, it all gets mixed together. That's more Chomer than Taros Chavis B'Chavis when it, than Taros Chavis B'Chavis when each barrel is separate and they're not all mixed together. So the fundamental machlokes Rishonim, does Halachas HaNa'aliyam HaMelech work for Yayin B'Yayin of Stam Yenam and of Yayin Nesach? And then, if we're dealing with Arlen Klai Karim, is that more like Stam Yenam, more like Yayin Nesach? So this is sort of a very confusing, I admit, a bit of a confusing issue. But maybe if we could just summarize, right? Skip all the confusion. There's a machlokes Rishonim about whether in Yayin B'Yayin there's a heter or Halachas HaNaliyah HaMelech because bread's getting mixed in with each other in the Mishnah. Is that more like Yayin B'Yayin or Chavis B'Chavis, loaves of bread? Chavis B'Chavis, they're not really mixed. It's what we call Yavish B'Yavish in the afternoon. Right? Shirts getting mixed with each other. That's obviously like Chavis B'Chavis. So what about Yayin B'Yayin? So, the Baal HaMor, for example, I think is fairly explicit that Yayin B'Yayin is much older than Halachas HaNaliyah HaMelech, and the Melchamos is very explicit that Yayin B'Yayin is also older than Halachas HaNaliyah HaMelech. Now let me ask a simple question: Shvach Eitzim in the Pas, is that more like Yayin B'Yayin or Chavis B'Chavis? Obviously. Like Yayin V'Yayin, it's not two separate things. The Shvach Eitzim over here gets mixed with some dough over there. It's all mixed in one thing. So it could be that they're arguing about Halachas Hanah L'yam HaMelech, meaning everyone agrees that Eitzim Bepas is just like Yayin V'Yayin. But they argue, what's the status of Yayin V'Yayin? Here I'm skipping the middleman of what's the status of the Stam Yino, and what's the status of Yayin Nesach, and what if it would be Erlin Klai Kerem, what would they be like? What would that be like? They're arguing about what's the status of Yayin V'Yayin. Can you be Molchan Eliyahu Melchanach? Because we're not sure in that sugya where Rav Chisda was matir, the Molchan Eliyahu Melch, we're not sure if he meant Yayin V'Yayin or if he meant Chavis B'Chavis. So the Baal HaMor says, for example, Baal HaMor says that Yayin V'Yayin is matir al yedei holochas hano liyam hamelach. And the Ramban says very explicitly that Yayin B'Yayin is aser al yedei holochas hano liyam hamelach. So there's one of the Rivas, for example, say back to Malmor. He says, what do you mean? There's like an iser here in this pas. So Malmor says, yeah, well, maybe I know there's an iser here in this pas. Yayin V'Yayin is also an iser here in this Yayin. But I hold Yayin V'Yayin is mutter, and you hold Yayin V'Yayin is us. So maybe that they're just arguing about the sugyan of Avodah Zarah about Yayin V'Yayin.
Yeah, there's another lot of just finding parallel in Machlokes where the Nishitat Tam. But why does he say Yayin V'Yayin is
mutter? So this is one of these cases where I should really talk for an hour about how you would get to your sheet about Yayin V'Yayin being mutter or usser in Halachas and Aliyam HaMelach. But the reason I'm resisting doing it is because, since I don't know if we really learned those Gemaras properly, so it wouldn't be a proper way of learning because you really have to go through the sugyas. But maybe the Ran does make a suggestion, interestingly. The Ran does make a suggestion. And he says that it could be that they're arguing about, the Ran said in the Baal HaMor, I think he sort of fills it in. This is not the Ran himself, this is what he said in the Baal HaMor. What are they arguing about? It could be they're arguing about one of two things, if you really want to go into it. They're also arguing about the Rabbanan and the Daraisas, because there seems to be a difference between the Rabbanan and the Daraisa and Yayin V'Yayin, but that's obviously technical. In terms of Lamdas, they might be arguing about the nature of Tarovas Yayin V'Yayin, meaning, I wouldn't say Hanan quite, but sort of the question of, you know, when you have a Tarovas, Lach V'Lach, do we view that as one piece of Isser, one big piece of Isser, in which case, how could you be, you know, being matred by Allah as one big piece of Isser? How could you use it at all? Or do you view it as like separate pieces of Isser? So it could be that perhaps, if you want to know within this what they're arguing about, the Baal HaMor says, is viewed as two separate chetzas. This is a pretty awful color. And the Ramban might say, Yayin B'Yayin is one chefza of Tarobes Asura. And I'm not saying this is the same Achlokas as Hanan B'Shari Surin. Because Hanan B'Shari Surin is a question of what if it gets diluted further. Here it didn't get diluted further. But it's somewhat parallel, maybe even more parallel to the, you know, Achlokas are shown in whether, let's say, the Tarobes of Isser and Heter. And it tastes Usser. Do you get Malchus for eating Kedayis of the total or Kedayis of the Isser inside? So there may be the Ramban really holds that Yayin B'Yayin turns into one big halos teft of Taruvus of Isser. Therefore, you can't just say, oh, I'm going to be matred by throwing half into the Yam. It's one big heft of Isser. Well, the Almor says, no, it's two separate heftas which are just hard to tease apart. Or they could be arguing about, and again, this is a bit of a tangent, the way the Ran says for the Baal HaMor, not for himself, for the Baal HaMor, is that he says it's a real chalos pidyon. A real chalos pidyon that works even on Yayin V'Yayin. If I'm really making a pidyon of something, do I care where it is? No. If I'm posing something, I can pose it whether it's Tzar Yayin V'Yayin or whether it's this Arev Chavis B'Chavis. As opposed to the Ramban, The Ramban says it's not a real chalos pinyon. The Ramban says it's not a real chalos pinyon. It's just canceling out the hana'ah, and since it's just canceling out the hana'ah, it only works Isser is not in each bite. What do I mean by that? If every cup of wine I take has Isser in it, then what do you mean? Hold on. I have a cup of wine here with Isser in it, so I can throw a dollar into the Yam HaMelech. How does that matter this? Like maybe with the Ramban saying, Balmer saying pidyon, I'd be poded. Maybe with the Ramban saying, what do you mean? What are you talking about? I have Isser here. I can be matter that Isser by throwing a dollar into the Yam HaMelech. How does it change the fact that it's the Chetzer Shel Isser? When does the Lech of the Yam HaMelech work? In Chavis B'Chavis. In Chavis B'Chavis, once I pick up each Chavis, what do I think its status is? Each Chavis is probably mutter. What's the problem? The problem is when you add them all together, there's an Isser. So I say, you know what? When I add them all together, I also add that I threw 20 bucks into the Yam HaMelech, and now there's no Isser. In Chavis B'Chavis, there's only a Vaday Isser by putting all my actions together. When I put all my actions together, I have a Vaday Isser. So I say, you know, if the only Isser is in putting all my actions together, then one of my actions was throwing 20 bucks at the Yam HaMelech. Now there's no Vada Yisr. It canceled each other out. But in Yayin the Yayin, there's Isr in every cup. If there's Isr right here in this cup in front of me, how does throwing money at the Yam HaMelech help? If there's not Isr in any particular barrel, if there's sort of an abstract Isr in my bank account when I use all of them, then I can take money from my bank account and throw it at the Yam HaMelech. So in Chavis B'Chavis, there's only Vada Yisr in my bank account, not in any Chavis. And my bank account went to the Yam HaMelech, so it canceled out. But in Yayin B'Yayin, there's a Vada Yisr in every cup. If there's Vada Yisr in this cup, how does throwing money into the Yam HaMelech help? Like, how can I cancel out the Yisr in this cup by throwing money into the Yam HaMelech? This cup still has Yisr. But in Chavis B'Chavis, each cup is Heter. It's only that by the time I finish, my bank account has Yisr. Ah, but it's my bank account that has the Yisr, I can cancel it out by throwing it into the Yam HaMelech. So it could be that canceling out only works in Chavis B'Chavis, where there's no Vada Isser except in my bank account. Right? Say it better. Only works if the Vada Isser is in my bank account. That's Chavis B'Chavis. Each Chavis is Heter. That's called Rove. Right? Because now we're making, okay, use the rule of Rove. It's just my bank account has an Isser in the end, so my bank account lost. But in Yayin V'Yayin, each ounce has Isser. How can losing money from my bank account change, help this ounce? So it could be that's also another way to view the machlokas if they're arguing about the halachas of Yayin V'Yayin. That means the question.
The answer sounds similar.
Which answer?
These two
don't
understand.
It sounds like. No. Here I'm saying alumnus, that like, yeah, when you mix yayin and yayin, you turn it into a big chetzer isser. Here I'm just saying practically, there's isser in here. Because it's all mixed. In yayin and yayin, it all gets perfectly mixed, right? Yesh bilan. So there's drops of isser in here. There's 1% isser in each cup. So how can I mount to that 1% isser by throwing money into the Yam HaMelech? Right? But. In Yayin B'Yayin, there's 1% Vaday Isser in each cup. What?
Is it each drop or it's physically each drop?
Physically. Yesh Vila is physically. I mean, it's really true. If you pour wine into wine, every cup gets a drop of everything. Because it spreads. Now, oil into water might be different. But wine into wine is miscible. M-I-S-C-I-B-L-E, which means that every drop has everything. As opposed to oil and water, where the oil will stay on top of the water on the bottom. Okay. But the Ritva here actually, if I understand correctly, understands the Machlokas also about Halacha Le'Yam HaMelech, but in a very, very technical sense. And not necessarily to do with the Ayin B'Ayin. So they could be arguing about halachah only on a melech. Two, They could be a different way. This is what the Ritva sounds like, although it's not particularly Lundish. Liyam HaMelach. The Ritva says here, again, I know, I'm not going to make anything of it, but he says, you know what the Machlokas is? That the Ramban and the Raivin Udi'imei say that the Pas Be'en looks usser, and therefore Pidyon doesn't help when it looks usser. Looks usser, so Chazal weren't Mako. And I guess the other Rishonim would say that, they were Mako in all cases of Tarovis. They're having a specific technical machlokes about Kesar Shvach Eitz and Bepas. What's the machlokes? The Balamor says, well, it doesn't look so bad to be mounted this pas because, like, the dough was mutter. Therefore, Chazal said, throw a little money to Yamanel and eat it. And the Ramban says, no, it looks very bad to be mounted this pas. This whole pas looks usher once it was cooked in this oven. And therefore, Chazal didn't want to make you cool and be mounted it. Okay, very non-Lumdish way of explaining that. Look, that's what he sounds like. That, you know, so you do want to force him. He says, in a tarot is a lot of breads, so it doesn't look so usher. Because there's a lot of breads here. But if there's only one bread, then the Ramban thinks it looks very usser. And the Balamor thinks it doesn't look so usser. Alright, I'm not going to dwell on that. The Ritva. That's the Lashon of the Ritva. I think. I don't think he's saying anything Lumdish. The Lashon of the Ritva is, okay, maybe we should skip everything. It's not Lumdish. No, we're allowed to say it. The Lashon of the Ritva was, Avol Rebbein Tzarfas Ramban, Zaluski, Mudul, Shari, Eliezer, Elashinus, Arvashinus, Yoduma for some. Yeah, it was only mattered if there's Harobis, and the Isser is not so known and famous. Avol Kolton, Shalos, Arvashinus, Yoduma, you'll do an opinion, but if it didn't get mixed in, then the Isser is like known, like you see it, then there's no opinion. So I think, you know, it sounds like he's not saying a Lundish thing. He's just saying, you know, the Ramban and the Balamor says, even though there's only a little Isser in here, but still, you can't be poed in that Isser because it's like very noticeable. A lot more things that they can be poed in even if it isn't noticeable. All right, but this is all nothing to do with the lumdus of Shvach Eitz in the Pas, right? However, the other way of looking at it, I see we can't have any other ways of looking at it. Okay, I guess we're done. The other way of looking at it is that no, maybe, not a good color. Looks like black. Let's see. Maybe they're arguing about Shvach Eitz in the past when they argue about can you be poda the past itself before it got mixed in with something else. Maybe they're really arguing about Shvach Eitz and Bepas. What would they be arguing about? And this is, again, I should have told you to look at the Ran of Rozar there. The Ran of Rozar actually says it out very nicely. It's a line we actually saw previously, but we didn't like put in this context. What's the Machlokes? The Machlokes is, obviously, if you say that the whole Pas is Usser, if you say, okay, maybe everyone agrees, let's take it back to stack. This is the way the Ran says. Maybe everyone agrees Yayin b'yayin is usser. What's my focus? Is Shvach Eitz b'pas Yayin b'yayin? Or is Shvach Eitz b'pas better than Yayin b'yayin? What would you say?
Well, you could say it's not the same because it's not tangible.
So what is Shvach Eitz b'pas? Right, remember, this is our machlokas back in what is Shvach Eitz Mepas. What did the Ran say about Shvach Eitz Mepas? That Shvach Eitz Mepas is just a gorim. It's just a gorim that's more nicker. So that's what the Ran says. The Ran says Shvach Eitz is just a gorim. There's no tarovis iser. He says, yeah, tarovis iser, you can't be, tarovis iser, yayin v'yayin, you can't be pod al yeholach sanal yam melach. But if there's just a goring, what does a goring mean? What does just a goring mean? Okay, this is, you know, let me erase it, because it's going to, you're going to get totally lost, okay? Hopefully, you've written it down. He says, they're arguing about Shvach Eitzim Pas. Everyone agrees that Yayin B'Yayin is Usser. But what does the Ran say? The Ran says, Shvach Eitzim is just a Goring, meaning it's just indirect hana from the Eitzim. It's more kal than Yayin B'Yayin. That's the Ran says in the Zayis. Yayin B'Yayin is also that's mamish tarovis lach b'lach. But Shvach Eitzim pas not a tarovis lach b'lach. It's total hefter, which just indirectly is nana from Isser. So you know what? If you're indirectly nana from Isser, throw money to the Yam HaMelech, and now you're indirectly not nana from the Isser. Well, what does the Raivid say? Right? What's the lashon of the Raivid? Yeah, well, the Raivid says that no, Shvach Eitzim is ki'ilu, the Eitzim are in the pas, meaning it's equal to Yayin B'Yayin. Maybe that, and, of course, the Rambam would say that Shvach Eitzim is even more chomer, perhaps, than he himself, than Yayin B'Yayin. He himself probably would think it's more chomer than Yayin B'Yayin because the whole pas is usser. Right? That's what we saw in terms of the Dmei Pas. So what did the Ran say? The Ran says, no, maybe you could read them as arguments about Eitzim and Pas. And this is just combining the two Chakirs and the two previous Shurim. Right? What is going on in Shvach Eitzim and Pas? The Rambam says it's Yotzeim and Asr, the whole thing is Asr, which means you can only quote it when it's in Tarovet, and you have to pay the price of the whole pass. The Raivet says, no, it's enough. And Rabbeinu David says, no, it's enough to pay the price of the Eitzim, but only when it's B'Tarovet. Why? Because if it's not in Tarovet, the other brands, it's like Yayin B'Yayin, because the Shvach Eitzim is the end in the pass. But if this iron with other breads, then it's like chavis be chavis. I should add Rabbeinu David. And the Ran says, no, this is less than yayin b'yayin. Yayin b'yayin, mamash, you have a tarovus of Isser in here. But over here, all there is a grum of yalma. It's just an indirect way of benefiting from something. And if the only problem is that you indirectly benefit from something, then of course Allah is not only Yalma Melech is good enough to take away that indirect benefit. So it could be that, again, in all these fundamental machlokos, could be the argument of halachos and halachos and aliyah v'melach, but it's attractive to say, and the Ran is mafurish about this. Again, you should look at it. If you want the Mari Makom, it is the long Ran on Daf Chof Beis Amud Aleph, Daf Yeref and Avodah Zarah. The Ran says, at first he says, oh, the Baal Mor is Mekel, because he thinks Yayin B'Yayin is okay, and he's very Mekel and halachos halachos and aliyah v'melach. But on Mekel, because I think Yayin B'Yayin is the usher. But this is better than Yayin B'Yayin, because Shvach Eitzim Pas not for any Eitzim in the Pas. It's just a Goring B'Yalma. And I think a Goring B'Yalma is just an indirect benefit from Isser. So, throw money to the Yalma. Canceled out your direct benefit from Isser.
Within Shitas Rambam, that side, why would it be worse when it's the aim? Meaning, we already said that even when it's just a Tarovus, he thinks the whole Pas is Usser. You can't, you have to do the Yalma Melech for the whole Pas. Why does it get worse when you do pass the eight? When it's just the eight?
No, I'm
such that you can't do it at all.
Ah, no, what I meant just, well, what I mean by perhaps is because, you know, that depends what he holds about Yayin B'Yayin. If he holds that you can be Moloch and all the Yam Melech for Yayin B'Yayin, then this is worse than Yayin B'Yayin. Because in Yayin B'Yayin, you can be Moloch just the Hanok the Usher wine, and here you can't be Moloch just the Hanok the Yatesim.
But you couldn't be Moloch the Hanok the Yatesim even when it was a Tarot.
Right. So I don't mean it's worse when it's not Nesaret. I just mean it's worse than I just mean the combination of.
But the round passes is worse, right? I mean, he's saying you can't even do all of that off.
No, sure you can if you get mixed with other
when
bread.
The eight.
Yeah.
We're past the eight.
You can't save it at all.
Right. So I'm confused why it's worse than. Meaning, what's the difference between the eight and Tarabas and bread in the round
pass? Ah! Because when the pas is mixed with other bread, that's chavis b'chavis. Sorry. When the pas is mixed with other bread, there's a combination of isser and heter. Right? The pas and the usser pas and the mutter breads.
But even then, in that case, he makes you pose the entire pas.
Right.
So it sounds like the entire pas is usser.
And likewise here, the entire pas is usser. That's why you can't say the pas itself. I'm just saying the same thing in different words.
But it's more...
I'm just saying the entire pas is worse than a combination of treif wine and kosher wine, because the entire pas is usser. Mm-hmm. And the combination of treif wine and kosher wine, only the treif wine is usser.
So we treat it, but the rabbi treats it as an entire thing.
Entire what thing?
When there's a tarobas, he treated it as if the entire chatzel was usser, because he has to be pulled to the entire chatzel. But then over here, and you can, but you can't be pulled to the entire chatzel. But when it came to the aim, We're basically essentially saying the same thing. Entire chatzah is usser. Here's not letting you pot it.
Ah, because he only lets you pot it when it was nisari with other things.
I know that's what he says. I just don't understand why.
Oh, why? Very pashut. Because when it's the end, it's a chatzah usser. Why should he be allowed to be pot it? But when it's nisari with other things, then Chazal made a kula that this really should be bottle of a robe. Just they made a chumrah that Avodah Zarah is not bottle of a robe. Therefore, they decided to relax their halacha a little and say, Avodah Zarah can be bought of a robe if you're podes.
So now we're saying that the Rambam Shita by Tarobes that you have to be podes to make kol ha'pas to really just a chumrah.
Because Midoraisa should be bought of a robe. That everyone agrees. Everyone agrees that Midoraisa should be bought of a robe. Everyone agrees that.
I mean, then why are we. I mean, okay, I guess.
The question is, what was the nature of that?
I'm saying, why are we doing all this on this if really it's just a chumrah?
Because Okay. Obviously Chazal made a lot of love this in this chumra to look at all the distinctions they're making in the Gemara.
Okay.
I hope if you sit on this, you'll be able to figure it out. Okay, these are just the basic issues when it comes to halachas hana'a liyam hamelach. Now, there are many other issues also when it comes to halachas hana'a liyam hamelach. I'll just mention a few of them. Number one is the famous machlokas we've shown in as to, it has to do with the girsa in our Gemara, where we realize, oser, kenaya oser v'chol yisurin, or kenaya omer v'chol yisurin. Meaning, is only the Isser part of Rabbi Elazar apply to Oli Surim, or does the Heter part of Halach Sana also apply? Only the Isser of Zev Zagorim applies to Oli Surim, or the Heter of Halach Sana? This is the famous machlok between the Rashbam and. Who should we put on the other side? The Rashbam and. Balamor, maybe, and probably the Rambam, as to whether the Heter Halach Sana Liyam Melach only applies to Avodah Zarah or to Oli Surim. Right? Many Rishonim, such as the Rashbam, and the Ramban, and the Ravid in Hilchos Machlokes Surah Tzadayin, say Halach Sana Liyam Melach applies in Oli Surim. Whenever it applies in Oli Surim. The Balamor, though, and the Maram Chalava quotes some, and the Rambam sounds like the Rambam only brings it down in Halachas Avodah Zarah.
Who says the Rambam will be derived?
Is that shot in the Rambam?
Because the Rambam likes where exactly.
Okay. Anyway, this is I'm not going to really talk about this, but this is very important in Halakha L'maisa. The Rashbam, who did I put with the Rashbam, is the famous one. But the Ramban agrees with him, and the Raiv in Hilchos Machlokes Asuras says this heter applies to all Isurim, as opposed to the Balamor and Pshat in the Rambam, because the Rambam only brings down Hilchos Avodah Zarah, who says that... This is Maskana the Ran, and that it's only for Avodah Zarah. That is an interesting shita, that there were more Makelin Avodah Zarah than other servants of the Torah. That seems to go against the way we normally think, right? Why are there more Makelin Avodah Zarah than only servants of the Torah? A little strange. But it's one of these paradoxical dinim. It's based on the fact that.
Tofes to Mayhem.
Right, all other servants are not Tofes to Mayhem. No, kofi sometimes is chumis derabanan partially, but the ikaron they're not tofis to mayhem on the deraisa level. Certainly not tofis to mayhem, even on the rabbanan level. They're not mamish tofis to mayhem. Maybe there's a knas like on a guy who did use it himself, but they're not really tofis to mayhem. Avodah zarah is tofis damav, which is a chumra midoraisa, and it could be that paradoxically this chumra turned into a kula, even though that would be ironic. But ironic doesn't mean illogical. Balamor, and that's what the Rambam sounds like. He only quotes this idea in Hilchos Avodas Kochavim. And in Hilchos Machos stories about Yayin Nesach, but he never quotes it about the Orla and the Klai Kerem and all these things. It could be that paradoxically, since Avodah Zorah, this idea of Midoraisa of Tofes Damav, therefore, Kein Doraisa Tikkun, they said, you know what? If there's an idea of Tofes Damav, that means the money you throw into the Amamelach has to do with the Avodah Zorah. Once it has to do with the Avodah Zorah, we can see it as canceling it out and being poda it. Yeah, this whole din is Darabonah, because this whole din is Darabonah. L'chora, this whole din is derabanan. Now that would be an interesting question. If it worked when the pasuk was by itself, and you held that the grum of the pasuk itself was initially daraisa, then you have to say this is a din daraisa. Let's assume for now it's a din derabanan, because clearly when things get mixed up yavish for yavish, that's only derabanan. They're not batal. And according to Tosos on Dav Ayin Hey, even the shvachis and pasuk only derabanan. Right, this is only a din drabanan. So they said, since we have an idea that Avodah Zarah is Tofes Damav L'chumra, we could also use the Kein D'Oraisa to take in the Kula to say this money has to do with this. It's not coincidence. Because the idea that Tofes Damav. By other Yisrael, there's no idea of Tofes Damav, so if I throw money to Yam HaMelech, there's no Kein D'Oraisa to say that money has to do with this Isser. Just coincidentally, I threw money to Yam HaMelech. So that's the Svara of the Balamor.
And so in terms of Machlos Asuras, Tezayin Zayin, Rambam writes all these Surah Hana, we're not detailing the rabbi there as a mistake. Oh, what about
mm-hmm.
I guess Mishnah writes, then it's not a Sagar Kazaram is being some when you write something later on.
Uh-huh. Okay. So it could be that according to the Kesav Mishnah, thank you, the Rambam also agrees that way. Although, you know, we're not sure if we're convinced. Okay, Halacha L'Maisa, you should know, we are Machmir. Like the Shita of many other Rishonim also, we are Machmer that only applies to Avodah Zarah, and therefore, Halacha L'maisa, we never use Halacha L'maisa Yom HaMelech, because we don't usually have Shailas of Avodah Zarah. So, Halacha L'maisa doesn't, you know, we don't usually have these Shailas anyway. But even in a rare case where you would have such a Shaila, such as Tarovus of Dover Choshev, we do have issues of Tarovus of Dover Choshev sometimes, accidentally. But we would not use the rule of Halach Sana'a of the Amamelach outside of Avodah Zarah because we're machmir that. Okay, there's a few other issues as well that are interesting. In terms of Halach Sana'a Amamelach, it would have to do with some of the lumbus we mentioned. But we will, I'll just hint Rashi Prakut if someone wants to look into it more on their own. The one interesting question is it matter for you to eat the bread or just to sell the bread to God and just be netta for the bread? Right? Meaning, let's say you're molchan aliyam melech. Are you allowed to eat the bread or is it just matter to be netta for the bread? That is a big machlokes Rishonim, which the Ritva here quotes, right? Between the Rishonai Svarad and the Rishonai Tzarfat, maybe. That's the way he makes it sound. Well, not so pashut. And you have to think about what that is totally on. It might be a matter of the relationship between Yisur Echil and Yisur HaNa. It might be a matter of whether this cheft is intrinsically usser or only usser because you're indirectly being netted from something else. But I'll leave that. And then working out all the issues of Chavz, B'chavz, Yayin, B'yayin, Stam, Yayin, Yayin, Nesa is also interesting. It also has to do with Arasogya. But I'll leave that for now. Okay, that's whoever was here last Thursday. Maybe got into those yonim. I want to see if I can quickly just rushy prucking, catch up to where Lichtenstein is going to pick up in the next shiur. So then the Gemara goes on after Lachliyam Melach, and this is we're just going to do some Bikias now. Just 10 minutes of Bikias. The Gemara says that Abai says if Zev Zagorm is Usser, then Rebbe originally is the same as Rebbe Eliezer. But if Zev Zagorm is Mutter, then Rebbe Shvachis and Pas, but doesn't hold Asr Zev Zagorim. Rabbi Elazar is different Asr Zev Zagorim. And we paskin in the end that Zev Zagorim is mutter, but Yeshach Eitzim a pass. So therefore, if you use Israel no wood to forge plates and cups and pitchers of Cheres, they're Asr, because they're only Nigram by one thing, the Shvach Eitzim in the Kalim. If you use it to forge an oven, that's mutter, because even though Shvach Eitzim in the oven and wood make your bread, and that's Zev Zagorim, and we already learned why there's no problem with Chachila in that case. Kedera is a big machlokas, right? First they want to say that Kedera is usher, because the Kedera is made by only usher wood, first they want to say that Kedera is mutter, because it's Zev Zagorim, and then they say no, Kedera is usher because there's something about being the bishul before the heter. Okay, what exactly does that mean? So we have here a bit of a machlokas. Rashi and pretty much all the Rishonim in the world say what the machlokas, the two Rishonim about Kedera.
Whether it's one glory or not.
What does Kedera mean?
It's the pot.
The pot, right? The first day says that you're allowed to use the pot because it's like an oven. It's only used through Zev Zagorim because you need the pot and wood to cook food. And what does the second day say? Why are we machmir? Because the pot's used as a gorim echad. Why is the pot used as a sole gorim? Because you hold food in the pot before you cook the food. That's what it means, right? That kibla bishula, it gets the tavshil before you bring the eitzim. Meaning, a pot has two uses. Its main use is to cook. But before it cooks, it has to hold the food, so the food won't spill. So it holds the food before you cook. When it's holding the food, it's only being used as one garment. It's like a kos and a kar and a slochet. So it's usher. And that's how we paskin. The Rabbeinu Chananel, like all the interesting Rabbeinu Chananels in this parak, there are two kisvayad Rabbeinu Chananel. There's the one they use in the Vilna Shasa, the one they use in the fancy Rabbeinu Chananel on the shelf. The one they use in the fancy Rabbeinu Chananel on the shelf always has things that make perfect sense and are very easy to read in the Gemara. The Girsnik Savyad they use in the Vilna Shasa always has very difficult things that we're not sure what they mean. So, I guess you have to make a philosophical decision. Do you say, well, Mustama, the Ksav Yad they used in the fancy one on the shelf is better, because it always makes sense, it always gives plush up shot in the Sugya. Or you say, no, Mustama, the Ksav Yad they used in the Vilna Shas is better, because it's more interesting and has new shitas. As a dry historian, you would probably be noted to favor the one in the fancy one on the shelf, because, what?
From what I know, the historians like to say things that make less sense are probably more
accurate. It's complicated, yeah. Here, Rabbeinu Chananel seems to have a different shot, which I'm not sure, at least our version. The version in the fancy one on the shelf is exactly the same thing as Rashi and all the Rishonim. But our version, Rabbeinu Chananel, has a strange shot. He says, no. What does it mean? Why is the Kedera considered one goring? Because he says that, what's the problem? Kibla bishula. It doesn't say kibla, it doesn't say it holds the tavshel. It says it gets bishul. So he says, what does it mean? A Kedera is one goring because, right, why in the end is a Kedera one goring? So Rashi and everyone else say because at 1 o'clock the Kedera holds food and only at 1:05 you cook with wood also and make it a goring. But for holding the food, it's a goring effort. Rabbeinu Chananel in our Gersa, Rabbeinu Chananel says because very strange Lashon, he says why this different than a tanner? A tanner never does anything without wood. That's true. What does a tanner ever do without wood? It just sits there minding its own business. But a kedera does something without wood. But he doesn't say what Rashi says. He says that ikedam rifdera de rekol aser my time da kodem ayel bishula mikoach kedera makmi denes koach eitzim. First, it gets bishul for the koach of the kedera before you get the koach of the eitzim. What does he seem to say? He seems to say, like, at 1 o'clock, the food gets cooked by Koach HaKedera, and only at 1:05 does the food also get cooked by the Koach of the Eitzim. But he seems to be saying that, no, for the first few minutes of cooking, it's cooked by the Kedera, not by the Eitzim. I'm not exactly sure what he means, because the Kedera doesn't have any cooking power except for the fact there are Eitzim underneath it. Right, to the best of my knowledge, Kedera doesn't have any independent cooking power. It's only the Eitzim that have cooking power.
Does anyone say, like, you're saying, okay, it's sort of like a clear shot that you took off
Maybe that's what he's thinking of, or even on the fire, that like you first heat it up before you put the food in, and therefore it has its own heat first before you put the food in. Of course, a little funny, because that own heat is still Zevzegorim, because it only came through the Eitzim of Heter, right? It didn't come from the fact it was originally foraged. So it's a little funny. I'm not really sure what Rabbi Yochanan means, which is always the tricky part. Like, you have one Gersa that's hard to make sense out of. You know, sometimes like challenging because it's interesting and you figure out a new shot. Sometimes you just can't make sense out of it. There's so many Rabbi Yochananels in the Vilna Shas on our parak. You know, you remember the footnote a few blot earlier just said, even in the Vilna Shas, right? I have no idea what Rabbi Yochananel means. Giver Rabbi Tumuim on Chavdalad and Beis. So I don't know. I'm starting to think it might just be there's a very bad scribe who copied over the version we have of the Vilna Shas, and maybe the boring version of Rabbi Yochananel was just interprets everything more or less in Pshuto. It's right, but starting it. The Rambam is strange in a few ways. Number one, he has a new pshat. All the Rishonim assume he got it from our Gemara, and I think it's Mokhar, because no other Mokhar. What's strange about the Rambam, Kezmesh should point out? He has two pshat, right? Now, I think I had another two Rambams in my head where there's a machlokes that interpret the morning pshat and both pshatim. But I have to, if I can come up with them, I'll tell you. Because it might just be a pattern of the Rambam that he's willing to pass the both pshat and the Gemara. But here, at least, the Rambam passes like Rashi. Because first he said like Rashi, say, Kosos, Ka'aras, Tolkios, and Kederos are usher. Right? Meaning, the Pats usher, like Rashi. Right? What's the Lashon of the Rambam? Sorry, it's all the way at the end of this part. The Lashon of the Rambam is, Ka'aras, Kosos, Kederos, Utslokios are usher. Okay, that's pretty clear that what he means is that the kli of the pot is usher, just like the kos, ka'ar, and slochis. But that in chav gimel, then in chav dalet, he goes back and says, kideira shabishlo sa b'kli pe'orla o b'klai akeru uba atzei heter, hare hatav shel usher. A kideira that you cooked with orla b'klai akeru and mutter wood, the food is usher. What does he seem to be interpreting kideira as now? He seems to have two different shatran and gomar pasta, like both of them. Why? Mastama, he had a machlok since Rav Meir had interpreted the Gemara, and he thought both shots were true. Even if they both weren't shot in the Gemara, he thought they were both true. So he quoted them both. Right, what was the second shot? Shot number two is that it means kedera equals food. Now sometimes you say, I cooked you a kedera. Doesn't mean I cooked you a kedera. I cooked you food. Kedera is the food, and what the zev is a goreng? What the zev is a gorim of this food? What's the zev is a gorim of the food? Zev is a gorim is that at 1 o'clock you lit atze yisr under the food, under the pot, and then at 1:05 you added atze heter, and that's the other pshat of Rambam and Gemara. First it says Zev is a gorm is mutter by kedera, meaning by food you cook with two kinds of wood, it's mutter. So Zev is a gorm, two kinds of wood. And then the Gemara says, no, it's usser, ikadami, that's usser. We paskin like, because first you had the usser wood and then you added the mutter wood, and therefore it got partially cooked by the usser wood before it got cooked by the mutter wood. The Rambam seems to have had both pshatim in the Gemara. And why do you have the second shot of the Gemara? I think if Ayil Bishula sounds like the cooking happens. On the one hand, the lesson of Kedera sounds more like it's talking about the pot. The other, Ayil Bishula sounds like it's talking about something getting cooked. So he says, the other shot also means the food gets cooked by Asi Isser at 1 o'clock. You don't add the Asi Heter until 1:05. Therefore, it's partially cooked by the Asi Isser. This is the famous sheet of the Rambam. Then in Zev Zeh Gorim, if the Gorim Isser is first by itself, and then the Gorim Heter only happens later, then it stays usser. Right? After all, at 1:05, it had been cooked by Isser and it was usser. So adding heter later doesn't change it. Once it had a gorim Isser by itself, it's now usser forever.
And the Lishon Kama says that the first 5 minutes went significant.
Exactly. Says that you look at all as one unit. The Amnon Lum, the Shutzim and Zion points out there's a Mordechai seems to be against this. The Mordechai implies that if you feed a cow Isser HaNa'ah and then feed it mutter foods, then it's mutter, even though originally it was only lived through Isser. It was only created through Isser. And then later on you add Heter, that makes it okay. So it could be a machlokas Rambam and Mordechai about this. that's the Amling Lum points out. What if you have a Zevzagore, where first you have only a Gore of Isser, and then you add a Gorim of Hefter? The Raman says Usser, because they're not Mitzari to each other. No, the Gorim of Isser was Usser, and it's too late to be Mitzari for the Gorim of Hefter to it. And the Mordechai says, not too late, you can still be Mitzari for the Gorim of Hefter and make it Mutter. Alright, so that's, it's not so clear what the Lumsus is behind that. You can think about that on your own, or ask Eitan Ehrenfeld. I think he had an idea, but it's not so poshut. Okay, and the last Bekias is Shmuel, right? Shmuel in the end darshan that Chachomim Aser Shvach Eitan Bepas and Rebbe Masters. The Gemara says, don't we know the opposite? So one day, Shmuel, right, Shmuel learned the opposite from his Rebbe. Seder could be. There's a note. Shmuel switched it on purpose because he wanted to pass. He knew we should pass like Rebbe here, but he knew no one would listen. So he switched the Chacham and Rebbe so everyone passed like what he said was a Chacham, which is really Rebbe. This is a very controversial idea, which you saw the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham points out there are three sugis that sound that way over here in Irvin Daf Nun Aleph. Who was it? Was it Ravina or someone?
Another one from Shmuel, a little bit later.
You mean by the Kederos? The threat by the Kederos?
He says, Rab, and he says,
yeah, about the Kederos prepared something Shaveira. Okay. But that was a threat, so that might have been that was really Motu B'Shas Chak, so that's a little tricky. But there is a Gemara in Irvin Daphne Aleph, a very strange Gemara, where is this? Rabbah tells Rav Yossi that there's certain brights in Rav Yossi Omer that he should be Makel, and really wasn't Rav Yossi Omer. He just wanted Rav Yossi to listen to him and be Makel. And then so that's very strange. And then in later on, Sachem Daf Kofi Bezim Aleph, it says, if you want to, you should say something in the name of an Adam Gadol, or you should rely on an Adam Gadol. And Rashi says it means, if you want people to listen to you, claim an Adam Gadol said it. If you want people to listen to you, say Rav Yossi said it. Although Rabbi Hananel says no, it just means go check with Rav Yashiv. That's not so controversial. The Magen Avraham points out this is very strange because the Maran Brachos and Zemes Kala said if you say something over that's a lie that the guy didn't really say, you cause the Shechina leave Bnei Israel. It's a terrible thing. It's very strange to us that you should be able to lie in these circumstances. And the Magen Avraham points out there's a Stira and Sugyas. So all the Achronim, if you look at the Elio Rabba, for example, give technical answers. Basically, what do they say? That, yeah, it's a Stira and Sugyas. Like, sometimes it's Kedai to lie, and sometimes it's not, depending on the circumstances. But fundamentally, they don't really have any problem with lying about who said something in order to get people to listen to the right halacha.
Even the second answer in the Elio Rabba didn't answer our case, because he heard it from someone else.
Correct.
He heard him say something different, I mean.
Correct. That is a good ha'ara. I don't know what the Elio Rabba would say about it. Anyway, Lamaisa, this is very strange. We would think Chosom of Kodesh Baruch Hu is emes, and for sure in Torah you shouldn't lie, even about who said something. So it's very peculiar. I mean, either you have to say one of two things. Either you have to say that even though lying is bad, and Chosom of Kodesh Baruch Hu is emes, having people violate the halacha is worse. So therefore, it's like dechuya that it's worth violating Hashem's chosam of emes, even within the sacred realm of the Talmud Torah, in order to keep people from doing averus. Frusha isura is more important than even though it's a little funny. Because in this case, you both Irvin and Aleph in here, they're being mekel. So I guess to get people to do the right halach is more important than the truth, which is very strange. Or you could say the funny Rav Elchanan sounds like something out of George Orwell's 1984. Not Rav Elchanan, sorry, Rav Dessler in Michtam Eliyahu, page 94. He says that truth and falsehood doesn't mean what didn't happen. Truth is what makes people keep the Torah better, regardless of what really happened, and falsehood is what makes people not keep the Torah better, regardless of what happened. That is a very dangerous svara, although Mestama, he didn't intend it to be used inappropriately. But maybe you could say that it's not the chuyas hutra, adarab, it really is the truth to say something which is not exactly the way it happened, if that's the correct halacha. That's also, both these svaras are very hard to accept and hard to imagine that really fits in with our hashkafa. So this is a big hashkafa tzarf ion, because both these answers seem very problematic. But it's a foolish twice, at least twice in Shas. So it's a big tzarf ion. I'm really not sure how this really makes sense. Okay, the part about the Gecholim we already discussed. I'll just remind you that Maram Chalava had a cool shot in Shar Shifa. We already discussed the Gecholim. hopefully you noticed at the time, the Maram Kalava had a different shot than everyone else in Sharshifa. Everyone says, how do you ever have Eitzim of Isser? Someone says, Sharshifa, use it as furniture. What did the Maram Kalava say? What? You burn the Sharshifa to cook on. Why is it any different if you burn a Sharshifa to cook on? Because if you burn wood to cook on, the moment it starts to get charred, it loses its identity as wood and turns into something else. But in a Sharshifa, it's a Hefter Shel Kli. So when it starts to get charred, the charred part is bottled to the Kli part, and it's still called a Hefter Shel Kli. Because it's such a chash of item that even if one part gets a little ruined, it's bottled to the main part, and it's still called an Eitz. And therefore, the Sharshifa, when you burn it, I know it's coming from the Eitzim. In wood, when you burn it, the Hanah is coming from the Chelek HaNisra. But in our Sharshifa, the Chelek HaNisra is bottled to the Chelek She'ino Nisra, because it's a chosh of a kli, right? If you have a chair and it gets a little burned, it's all bottled to the chair. That's a very Mechudish Pshat in Sharshifa, but it's nice in that, like, he doesn't think the answer to the Gemara is going to left field. The answer to the Gemara is still staying within the realm of burning things, so it makes the Gemara a little, the idea is more Mechudish, but the Gemara reads a little more smoothly. Okay, Meres Hashem Revarim will pick up with Yoni Me'ila, which is really the in the next sugya, and then we'll come back and do the other aspects of the next sugya. Why do we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer? What? Aaron, why do we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer in the first place? Because in the Gemara, in our Gemara, there's no reason you think we pass like Rabbi Eliezer, right? But in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Memches Amid Beis, you have an actual case here. Oh, it's sorry, an actual case. It says Mefurish here. Amarchi Reiver Memches Amid Zira Halacha Rabbi Eliezer. Ikedami etc. Halacha Rabbi Eliezer. Okay, it's Machlok exactly who said whom, but it says Mefurish Halacha Rabbi Eliezer in. But it's our document testing base. That's a good reason.
And I think the Punra in the recent one night, he said that because actually
the rush.
He said to me, 18